never rests.
Beauty killers in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? This is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Toms. We are from Dogs HQ. And got a lot to talk about. Georgia UMass, Carson Beck. Got some prize picks, Palmer, that we always excited to make. Senior Day celebration. Palmer actually informed me of this like right before we got on the air, and I did not know. I thought they'd do senior night against Georgia Tech. No, they're going to do the seniors against UMass. So it'll be all business against Tech. And we're going to talk a little bit about these seniors, some of whom have been around this team almost as long as I have. And that'll be fun to talk about. But Georgia UMass preview, Palmer. Listen, we're not even going to predict a score in this one. You know, this game is not going to teach us a whole lot, but does it mean a whole lot?
I think it does in terms of the opportunity that it presents, the opportunity to play some younger guys, the opportunity to get guys in, get guys out pretty quickly, and a chance to continue feeling good about yourself. I think that this offense is feeling really good about itself after last week and the way that they performed against Tennessee. And I see the question here from Derek Durham. Do you all think we see more Chauncey Bowens this week? I think we see more of all those freshmen. I think that that's what this game is about. And Kirby talked about it this week some of, you know, hey, on average, they felt like they had done up to this point 100 snaps for their second and third team in previous seasons. This year, they're nowhere close to that. I mean, the only opportunity that they've really had to get in would be a couple kneel down plays against Clemson, Tennessee Tech game. And then there were some second team defensive guys that got in late against Mississippi State. But that's kind of it.
I think maybe some second team defensive guys got in a little bit late against Auburn too. I think that one, there may have been like one possession there, but you're talking five or six plays total there.
That's it. And so I would love to see, Chauncey Bowens, obviously with that running back room, the way that it is right now, I think that you would see him regardless whether they were playing UMass or they were playing, we saw him last weekend against Tennessee.
Yeah, there are some guys you're going to see more of, but then there are some guys that you're going to see more of early. Like, there's certain guys like Nitro Tuggle and it's Kobe White probably, and Chauncey Bowens falls into that category. You may see even an offensive lineman like a Bo Hughley or Ja Jackson, Daniel Calhoun, somebody like that, get a little bit of an earlier look. Everybody's going to get more of a look for the most part in a game like this, but there are certain guys that you're like, that they're saying, hey, we want to get you in there with the ones, kind of grow up around them a little bit.
And I think Gunnar Stockton is one of those guys. I mean, probably. And maybe Jaden Rashada.
Probably feedback on that might be offensive line wise. I think they will probably try to get those five out as soon as they can get those five out because that's their healthy five right now.
Yeah, but you may see, we're talking about guys that are going to be running with the ones at receiver, Nitro Tuggle, Anthony Evans, those guys. I think Gunner's not going to be throwing to the walk-ons. I think he's going to be throwing to guys
that are part of the rotation. Sure.
But I do see what you're saying about wanting to get the offensive line out because
there are some bleeders in there. There are some guys that bleed between that first group and the second group. They kind of Venn diagram it there a little bit. And they're going to be the ones that are kind of rotating in with the ones, but then they're going to get a lot of snaps whenever Georgia kind of goes into that second team mode.
Well, and I don't know if you remember the last time Georgia played UMass. It was kind of that way. It was this late season game. November, Justin Fields had a huge day.
You were like 17 years old at the time.
It was crazy. Was 19.
I was closer than I thought I was, actually.
Yeah, no, that was my freshman year. So, I did cover that game. And, Justin Fields led the team in both passing and rushing that game. Had over 100.
I think Jake Fromm went 5 of 5 for like 170 yards or something in that game, or 140.
I don't think he did. I don't know that he might have gone for like 140 or something, but Fields led the team in passing.
Right. Okay. I knew Fields led the team in passing, but Fromm only attempted like five passes that day.
Let's see. I'm pulling up the stat line. Jake Fromm went 5 of 5 for 106 and a touchdown.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it was something absurd. He had a long one to Tyler.
Fields went 5 of 8 for 121 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then he rushed 7 times for 100 yards and a score.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That was, I think at that point, everybody was like, oh my gosh, Georgia should make a quarterback change.
Well, I don't know. Then Jake Fromm came out against Alabama in the SEC championship that game, threw for 300 yards and looked awesome. And, I don't know. That was.
Do you remember who the star of that game was, though?
Andy Isabella.
15 catches, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just an absurd day.
Andy Isabella. Andy
Isabella. Yep. So I don't think UMass.
Kind of surprised.
UMass has an Andy Isabella this time. There you go. Caleb in the chat had that stat line there for us.
Caleb Parmalee down here.
But, yeah, so, I think in general this game, I mean, look, we're talking about a UMass team that just fired its head coach. This is a team that is
– very angry and very dangerous.
No. This is a team that's not good. And Georgia should have an opportunity here to
– I've had UMass on the brain. Listen, I was on to UMass right after the game the other day. I tweeted there's a pissed off UMass team.
You were on the UMass before this game. Before
I was already planning the tweet after the game about the Pitt. I said, if Tennessee wins, I'm going to tweet the Georgia fans. They need to get their minds right because a pissed off UMass team's coming to Athens next week. Noon game,
lost in overtime to Liberty.
Everything is set up for this to go poorly for Georgia. No, I mean, I'll say this. I got some notes.
Jake, what's the score at the end of the first quarter here?
Because
it wouldn't shock me if this is a little bit like if this isn't a two-score game at the end of the first quarter.
So what you're saying is that this is one of those situations where at the end of the first quarter, I'm going to get up out of my seat in the press box and I'm like, why are they doing this to us? Yeah?
I've seen it before.
Yeah, man. It's been that way all season. No, I think they come out firing. I think they come out firing. I had a little bit of intel over at Dogs HQ this morning. Please come over to the site and check it out if you're not already. I know a lot of people watch these videos that don't subscribe to the site. You're missing out. We have a blast over there. It's constant intel that we share with our subscribers, and I'm sure you'd understand being a YouTube subscriber and being able to just kind of click a button is a little bit different than you know being a paid subscriber over at Dogs HQ. But y'all should come check us out. It's a lot of fun. But I shared a note this morning, and I think a lot of people would get it. This is kind of a little bit of a teaser, I would say, into kind of what you get to read and what you get when you're a subscriber at Dogs HQ. And I talked to some sources this week, and this team being able to play like it practiced, to be able to have some great practices like they've had this year and preparation, and then to go out there and put it on the field has kind of lifted a little bit of a weight off this team just in terms of the way it's preparing this week. Now, does that mean that I'm telling you this because I don't know how it's going to turn out. Like, it's easy for me if Georgia goes on a college football playoff run for me to come back and say what I heard this week. So I'm telling you this now. I don't know how it's going to work out. This may be bad for this team. They're the last thing they need to be doing maybe to feel good about themselves. I don't know. But I was told that kind of the way this team has practiced, the way it's kind of cut loose, and I believe Kirby had a lot of good things to say about the way Tuesday's practice went, Palmer, that this team has really kind of loosened up some, that they were pressing, that they were getting tight, that it was kind of bunching up on them a little bit. And I think fans were probably feeling that a little bit too. But this team's gained a little bit of confidence, and I kind of expect that to pay off for Georgia on Saturday against UMass, for them to start a little faster.
And one thing that just came to my mind is you heard Kirby say, hey, I felt like this was our best Tuesday practice of the year, one of our better Tuesday. And granted, you've been hearing him say that all along, but you can have your best Tuesday practice of the year 2 consecutive weeks. It just means the second one is better than the first one. And so,
right.
You know, how much has this team been building up to this point, getting healthier, getting, gaining some confidence. And you know, I think that there is probably some truth to that, hey, this team had its best Tuesday practice of the year after playing its, I mean, I don't know if you would say Texas was a better game, but I think Georgia played better against, I mean, they didn't turn the ball over against Tennessee.
Yeah, it was a better. It was 100% a better overall effort. Like, I mean, the defense was probably more dominant against Texas, but a completely scoreless second half.
Still allowed fewer points against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because they gave up 15 to Texas.
Right.
And 14 to
17 to Tennessee.
They gave up 17?
Yeah,
17. You're right.
I did the same thing. Literally, there was a score graphic up on the screen during Rusty and I's post-game show for about 5 minutes that said Tennessee 31-14. So, good move, old man. Not a way to pull you a Jake Rowe there and just get something wrong. It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I think that this team is moving, is trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
And a win over Tennessee.
You know, I'm going to need to see more than one game personally to think.
Absolutely. And I don't know that anything we're going to see against UMass is going to prove that. And I think they would really have to light Georgia Tech up to feel great coming out.
I disagree.
That's a bowl bound team that beat Miami.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know that you've got to go out there and light Georgia Tech up. I just think you have to look good offensively. It's like Tennessee. Georgia didn't light Tennessee up. But it's one of those things like, Palmer, is it going to shock you if Georgia just gets the football 7 or 8 times against Tech? It's not me because no. I know they're going to bleed clock and they're going to want to shorten that game.
I mean, Brent Key and the way that he wants to play that game and slow it down. I mean, you know, last year's game kind of felt that way.
Right, which is why I have concerns about – I think Georgia is a tough matchup for Georgia Tech, and we'll be into this all next week. But I think Georgia's a tough matchup for Georgia Tech, but I think it's a tough matchup for Georgia in terms of, like, can we get up and run from this crew? And I don't think they can – I don't think they can do that. I don't think they can just drag Georgia Tech with them. I don't think you got enough runway to do that. It's one of those situations where you're just not going to – you may not have enough possessions. You know, obviously, if you get some turnovers. 8
possessions was a good number there, Jake, because last year they had 9, with the last one of those being the end of game.
Yeah, so
– And one of those was a one-play fumble.
I don't remember that.
First drive of the game.
Yeah, that's right, because Georgia stopped Tech on the opening drive. I think they made them go 3 and out, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And then Tech punts back to Georgia. And then Georgia just turns it right back over to them. And then Tech scores and becomes the sixth straight team to start 7-0 over Georgia last year. So, I mean, last year we were talking about Georgia's best team in the country. I still think it was probably the best team in the country. Just didn't really get a chance to play for it, didn't earn it. But and they had a run there at the end of the season where they started every single football game for about 7 straight games. From Vanderbilt on, I believe, 7-0.
Yeah, six straight. Did Alabama take a lead on them? No, Georgia took the lead.
Alabama did not.
Georgia was up.
It stopped. It stopped with the because I think Georgia. Yeah, think Georgia
got a 3 and out and scored first.
Georgia. Yeah, I remember saying in that game, I was like, "Hey, this is a hell of a time to break that streak." You know, like that streak of games.
But yeah, six straight games. Georgia gave up an opening drive. It went down. And 5 of those, I think, were opening drive touchdowns.
I'm sure this is normal, and it's apropos to nothing. But for everybody who covers the team, but I feel like every single Georgia team, the greatest ones, the best ones I've covered these last 3, I would say, and even the 2017 team, 2018 team that I think was probably playoff caliber too, they all have their own quirky, we're bad at this type stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they all had their kind of, you know, and I guess every team's probably got that, but it's like you're really good at a lot of stuff, but then there's some things that you're like, man, they are so bad at that. And so
and this is a weird conversation, but what would you say that 21 and 22 teams were not great at?
The 21 team was a slow starting football team after those first few games. Like, it just offensively just could not start fast. You know, just couldn't get it going. They weren't great on third down. They were really bad in the red zone. Not really bad, but they were not very good in the red zone, that 2021 team. I wouldn't say that team really had anything that's like, oh, they're so bad at that. But I would say just the clunkiness sometimes of the offense. And it got all blamed on Stetson. And, you know, that was, you know, that's just kind of the way it was. But they powered through it and they figured it out. And they usually got it figured out the midway through the third quarter like this team's got has done this season.
Yeah.
And then I'd say the 2022 team, playing with their food. That team played with its food so bad.
Kentucky game, Missouri, obviously.
Yeah, Missouri.
Auburn for a while there.
Kent State. Samford.
Yeah.
Samford was a big one. That they just, you know, they won. They beat that team 33-0. They could have been up 33-0 in the first quarter. Should have been up 33-0 first quarter if they were clicking on all cylinders. So a pass rush for that 2022 team as well. Everybody was like, "Oh my God, Steve can't run. We're so bad at rushing the passer." And then the bye week comes, and Georgia just like turns every quarterback into a potato, just sacks them all. And that's just the way it went there. So it's so funny, those little quirks you run into with even some great teams that you cover. And Palmer, how was the team we put together last week for Prize Picks?
Close, but no cigar.
No cigar.
We made a run at it. It did not help that Dylan Bell didn't play the second half. Now, that did not help us.
It also didn't help that he dropped that fumble, like that almost fumble, because that had some stuff out in front of it. I thought that might have been a way he might have gotten
that would have been a receiving yard.
Yeah, that would have been receiving yards. That would have got us on point there. But you know, he dropped it. Maybe the worst drop of the season for Georgia, as far as difficulty. But here we are, man. Prize Picks daily fantasy. Okay, you come in, you make your picks. Skill-based. This is skill-based. And I know this because Palmer and I are bad at it, and because we have no skills. But you can be good at it because you listen to us because you're smarter than us. And so go into Prize Picks. Check this thing out, man. It's awesome. Promo code DOGS, and they will give you $50 on your first bet or your first
play of five.
Your first wager of $5 or your first what are we supposed to call that?
Play.
Play of
first play of $5. Yep,
absolutely. I'm over here asking for terminology on the air, but hey, Palmer, $5, $50. Who are we picking this week?
Well, as you said, haven't had the best of luck, but this week we've got no Georgia picks
on the board. Honestly, none are on the board. None available.
None on the board yet. We are looking at Trey Harris, Jalen Milroe, Will Howard. Some big games right there. Couple games that I think have Georgia implications. I mean, obviously Alabama, Oklahoma does in terms of the broader college football playoff landscape. Ohio State, Indiana does. Georgia fans, you know, would love to see. I think Georgia fans would love to see Ole Miss take a loss, and that would help Georgia's chances of getting to a host.
Listen, that eliminates a team that you struggled with, you know?
Yeah. But Trey Harris, 94.5. Receiving yards, man, I think that they're going to be careful with him, especially, you know, wanting to make the college football playoffs. That's a lot of yards. We're going less. Jalen Milroe, 214.5 passing yards. He's done it a couple times this season. I think against Oklahoma, they're, again, kind of along those same lines. They're going to want to be careful with him. They're not going to run him. He, you know, ran for a million yards against LSU. I think they're going to want to save his body some. I'm going more passing yards. And then Will Howard, 244.5 passing yards against Indiana. I'm going less there. I don't know that I see that one happening. I think that
that's let's go head to head on this one. Okay. $1,000 bet between me and you. I'm joking. Let's go head to head on this one because that's the one I'm the most. I think Ohio State may have I almost said a bad word there. I think Ohio State may have an offensive bonanza against Indiana, and I think Will Howard might go over. But I understand where you're coming from on the underpick because, you know, he's Will Howard, and he's not that he's not a good player. He's just not a big volume.
They're also going to be banged up on that offensive line a little bit. I mean, no Seth McLaughlin.
Yeah, I hated to hear that, man. I mean, he's a guy that took a lot of flack at Alabama, bad snaps and all that stuff. But I thought a couple of those times, and I'm sure Georgia fans just love me, you know, tuning into this. He had a couple of games where I thought Georgia's going to get him, and they didn't. And he stepped up and played his best ball kind of against Georgia in a couple instances. And I got a lot of respect for that because he did it. All right, bounce back, Beck Palmer. Bounce back, Beck. Peter Piper picked a pet. I mean, this is weird. So we got Carson Beck here.
Would you rather have me just called it Bounce Beck?
Yeah, that would have been awesome. So he comes back against Tennessee, and the more I watch that game, the more I'm impressed with him. There were some bad throws in there. There were some decisions. First play of the game, throwing it to Arian Smith, that had potential, but, man, he had Ben Jurosik wide open over the middle of the field, just streaking. He was a little late here and there, a little off, especially early. But Palmer, once he got it cranked up, it seemed like he had the Tennessee defensive guys on a string. He was just kind of pulling and tugging and eyeballs and play fakes and things like that. And we're looking now. Matt Miller is a guy that I really respect in the NFL draft space. ESPN puts out a mock draft. I believe he has Beck going 18th to the Los Angeles Rams. They're just going to just go all G's in the backfield there with Matthew Stafford, Stetson Bennett, and Carson Beck, I guess, in the first round. What do you think about that?
It's a little bit surprising, but I do think when you look at the way that Carson played on Saturday, it shows you why he can be that first-round quarterback. I mean, that throw, the first touchdown to Oscar Delp, was an incredible throw. And I heard it said this week, can't remember where it was, but somebody said that kind of throw is the same kind of throw he's been making, just paying the price for it at times. And it's those boomer bust type plays where you're really trying to make something happen, and he showed that he can make it happen. So I think that combined with, you know, the fact that he was just cooking, he was dialing it up. I think that, you know, we're seeing what Carson can be, and I think he's got an opportunity here against UMass, against Georgia Tech, with a potential playoff run, to really move himself right back into that conversation of first-round quarterbacks, and he clearly has. You know, I think a lot of people look at him and say, oh, well, you know, he's going to be a fifth-round pick because, you know, look at all the mistakes. He's not slipping that far. Second round lowest, in my opinion. Maybe bottom end of that. But, I mean, just the way that the NFL values these quarterbacks and how – I mean, just in terms of the rookie contracts and, you know, the importance of a quarterback and the value that you get in a rookie contract, you can, if you hit on that, you've got 4 years to, you know, explode as a team. You've got 4 years to pay all the players around that guy and you know, really make a run at it. So to me, I think it would not shock me at all. 5 years if it's a first round pick, because you've got that fifth year option with a first round pick that you don't get in terms of the second round. It's why you see teams trade into that late into the first round and take a quarterback. To me, that's the kind of conversation we're having with Carson. I don't think he's going to go 1-1. I don't think he's going to go top 10, but I think that he is still very much could be a first round quarterback.
Yeah, I see how guys like and I know they played much more efficiently as seniors, but I see a lot of guys that maybe scheme-wise are a lot less prepared than Carson Beck. I mean, you see Bo Nix kind of getting a little bit of a something going there in Denver, and you know, you see some other quarterbacks around, Jaden Daniels, who, listen, won a Heisman Trophy last year, but has never really been a pro style, you know, had great receivers around him, so you didn't really expect a whole lot. And then Carson's had his struggles this year, and you're sitting here wondering, Drake May had those kind of some similar struggles last year. I don't know if he had the turnover issues on that scale that Carson's had, but there's a lot of football left to play here. And
significant football.
It's why when people ask me, hey, has Trevor Etienne played his last snap at Georgia? I don't know, man. Like right now I would say no. Like right now, I would say probably not if he doesn't play another game. But this guy's got a playoff to go. And if you would have asked me, hey, what's going to happen with Sony Michel in the 2018 NFL draft, I would have said, going into the playoff, I would have said, oh, he may go on day, you know, he may have a chance to go on day two. And he became a first round pick, due in large part to what he did against Oklahoma and Alabama with everybody watching. So there's just so much left to go. I'm telling you right now, if Carson Beck goes on a little run here, shows some efficiency, shows the ability to take care of the football, and go and helps Georgia go on a run, his star is going to go. It's going to take off.
And I think that there's a, you know, the quote in there was something about supply and demand of these quarterbacks. Where would you stack Carson up? I mean, Shedeur Sanders probably above him. Cam Ward probably above him.
Yeah, I'm still worried about Shedeur Sanders, but that's yeah. I mean, I would definitely take both of those guys over him. I
like
Quinn Ewers. I know.
I don't think so. Quinn Ewers.
Ewers is a really good, really good college quarterback. I don't think Quinn Ewers has got NFL games.
Quinn Ewers might be back, and Garrett Nussmeier too. I mean, might be back in college next year.
Yeah.
Are you taking Jalen Milroe over Carson?
You know, that one's tough. Yeah, I think I would. I think I would, just because of kind of – I think Jalen Milroe can be a Jalen Hurts.
Jackson Dart?
No, I don't think I'd take Jackson. I mean, he had a great game against Georgia, and he's a really good competitor. But Jackson Dart, body of work has just been extremely up and down. Like, Carson's had that rough patch, but I don't think we need to forget Carson's body of work prior to a 4 or 5-game stretch where he turned the ball over like crazy. You know, or you know, and if he can put together that same body of work after, I think, hey, listen, man, you know, you sandwich some, you know, not, it's like putting spicy mustard on a sandwich sometimes, you know, spicy mustard, if you don't like it, it's not your thing, you know, you can kind of deal with it because it's just in there amongst a lot of other good stuff. And that's what Carson Beck needs to turn this into, is something that's just in there amongst a lot of other good stuff. And you do that by stacking other good stuff around it. And there's not much better stuff out there, period, than NFHS. I do know that because I am all into NFHS on Friday nights. Watched about 4 games, clicking back and forth, clipping stuff out. It's awesome. NFHS is our partner, and we love them. You can get NFHS right now. All right, it's monthly. You can go over there and you can use GoDawgs25 to save 25% off your first month and get these Georgia high school football playoffs. Get those Illinois high school football playoffs. Newly minted 5-star industry ranking wide receiver Tylan Taylor. Can't go to Georgia now because he's got 5 stars. He's disqualified from going to Georgia as a 5-star receiver. That's not true. But you can see these guys play, man, and it's tremendous. The quality has been even better in the playoffs. Getting a lot of really good camera work here. Jake Roos puts out a story every Thursday on Dogs HQ where he just makes a rundown of where all Georgia commitments are playing, and there's plenty of them this week. NFHS is the best way to keep up with high school sports. It's not just football. It's softball. It's volleyball. It's JV sports. It's everything. And these guys do it right. They do it well. And we appreciate them. NFHS is the bomb. All right, Palmer, senior day at Georgia. They're not doing senior day for Georgia Tech. They're doing it. Let's talk about our most memorable seniors.
So, Jake, I will say this, because I asked Kirby on the teleconference yesterday. He said, hey, we're celebrating the seniors. And I was like very caught off guard by that. I was like, hey, do you mean by that senior day? Like, are y'all doing the pregame ceremonies? And he said that they were, that in terms of, and I would imagine it has to do with it being on Black Friday, just that this is a way that it's easier to get the families there for this game. So, but senior day, I mean, you know, I think that this is a special class. I mean, with one more win, one more, they'll pass last year's class as the winningest 4-year span in program history. And that last year's class had that COVID year, so it's hard to, you know, stack up. It's not apples to apples. But this is a special class. I mean, they've got 2 national championships still, a really, you know, good team last year that was national championship caliber, playoff caliber, and another team this year that's playoff caliber. So, you know, really, really impressive group overall. I told you, you know, as we were, you know, prepping to do the show, I said, hey, pick one senior you want to talk about. Jake, I'll let you take it first. Who do you want to talk about?
For me, it's the guy who encompasses both of those winningest 4-year stretches in Georgia history. It's Xavier Truss. This guy started a game in 2020. He was a 2019 recruit. At no point has he ever really been one of Georgia's top 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 offensive linemen, but he is Velcro to number 5. He is super glued to the number 5, number 6 offensive line position at Georgia for the past 3 years. I shudder to think where Georgia would be without him. Not because he's been a dominant football player for Georgia at all. He is a decent to sometimes very good on certain plays and for certain stretches offensive lineman for Georgia. More often than not good and right there. But you want to talk about a guy that started games at left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard, and won 2 national championships. Has filled so many different roles, worn so many different hats for Georgia.
Causing a lot of coolest picture out there.
Is what? Yeah, the coolest,
coolest picture out there.
I don't know if you've been pulling that up or not. That's that photo from the 2022 national championship
game. I'll pull it up.
Looks incredible. It's one of my favorites. But yeah, I mean, listen, I just think, I've watched Xavier Truss get beat. And I've watched him get ragdolled and tossed around. I've seen a lot of great linemen do that. But it's not like I would never sit here and argue with you, man, Xavier Truss is a great, great football player. I don't think he's a great, relative to me, he certainly is. Relative to most of us, the 99% of the population, he is. But for a guy to hang in there that long and to kind of be like, yeah, I got it. In so many different situations where you're like, hey, can you, we need you to move to right guard. Hey, we need you to move to left guard. Hey, you got to play right tackle. This is the greatest photo. That photo does not look real, but it's real.
You said it to me the day after that game. You said, this is the greatest picture I've ever seen.
It is. I don't know. That's such a great photo. It's clear as day. It looks animated like that, but that's real. That was a USA Today shot?
Getty.
It was a Getty Images shot. They did a fantastic job with that. That's so cool. But Xavier Truss, man, a guy that, like I said, has worn a lot of different hats, has hung in there. You want to talk about the time, energy, effort, blood, sweat, and tears with gone into the University of Georgia. 6 preseason camps under Kirby Smart. COVID, 15-game seasons. Guys coming and going. This guy stuck around the whole time from Rhode Island. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible.
Yep. I'm going to talk about another guy that, Kirby Smart described as, and in fact, I think at one point he was talking about Truss in the same, I think we talked to these two guys on the same day and he talked about them together, both as just incredible representatives of the program and, exactly what you want in a Georgia football player. And, my guy's Chaz Chambliss, and I know that he's received a lot of criticism over the years, from message boards, from fans that watch him play and say, hey, why is 32 out there? Get 32 off the field. What is he doing for us? And I think the fact is he does a lot that goes unnoticed. And I think that this season, the last 3 games, he's got 4.5 sacks. He's tied for the team lead. This season, his senior season, it's paying off. He's been selfless the entire time that he's been at Georgia. We talked to him this week, and that's, part of the reason why he's on my mind here is, he talked about, hey, I don't know my stats. I don't know my snap count. If you're worried about that in this defense, you're not going to be doing your job. If you're going out there trying to make plays and be the stat guy, you're not going to do your job. And I think that is exactly what Chaz Chambliss has been his entire career at Georgia. Another guy that has been a part of, 2 national championships and seen a lot of stuff, was part of an important class at Georgia.
Was he part of that COVID baby class that Kirby talked about?
The Brock Bowers class, yeah.
Yeah. So, Brock Bowers, Smile Munden,
Javon Bullard, Kamari Lassiter, Chaz Chambliss. That's a class that you know, very important to Georgia. Those guys didn't get a, you know, senior recruiting experience. They didn't get to do it all, you know, go to games and do the photo shoots and all that. They were committed to Georgia to play football at Georgia. And I think that nobody better represents that than Chaz Chambliss. And so, you know, I'm happy to be seeing him playing well. I'm happy to see him get his flowers, per se. And, you know, I think that Saturday, you know, I don't know what he's going to do against UMass. I don't know what he's going to do against Georgia Tech. But Georgia is a better team because Chaz Chambliss is out there doing his job.
Yeah, that you mentioned that 2021 class. There are a few guys still around, key guys like Ty Ingram Dawkins and Dylan Fairchild. That they lost a lot from that class, but you're right, very important class. And, you know, Jared Wilson, A.D. Mitchell, all in there. A ton of that class is no longer around. The transfer class was also very important. Darian Kendrick and Ty Key Smith.
Amarius Mims.
Yeah, Amarius Mims was in there as well. But, that, you know, you look back at that class again, tons of attrition, but – that was also one of Georgia's kind of, in terms of score wise and rank wise, one of the local guys. So yeah, there are a lot of key players in that class for sure. Seniors, Georgia's got some good ones. Georgia's got some ones that have been around and seen a lot. They've accomplished a lot. And I hope Georgia fans are appreciative of that. I know a lot of folks that have the criticisms of these guys. I do understand that most of you appreciate them. I do most understand that, you know, what's out there. It's kind of frustrating in the moment. You probably hear sometimes, if we're really honest, you probably hear those coaches on the headsets say some of the same stuff you're saying on a specific play. But they understand that one play does not a player make. And that's something that fans need to realize sometimes as well. We've all got our weaknesses, mine or many. Predictions. This is one of my weaknesses. I'm not really predicting stuff very well of late, but does Georgia cover here? What's the line? Is it 40? Was it 48.5, 43.5?
42 is the last number I saw. 42.5 is
I like Georgia to cover. I like Georgia to cover. I think Georgia can cover here.
Yeah. I think they can. It all, you know, it. My prediction is that we're going to see a lot of guys play, and how quickly they start doesn't necessarily determine how many guys we'll see play or whether we see guys play. I think that those guys are going to play regardless of whether it's a, you know, 28-35 point game in the second half or if it's a 42-49 point game. How quickly Georgia starts, though, is going to determine whether they cover this one or not. So.
Yeah,
I'm going to lean yes, because I do think that this offense is going to keep rolling, keep the momentum going last week.
I'm going to lean yes because I watched Alabama go thump Mercer last week and somehow jump in the rankings. So
you're not upset about these college football rankings at all.
Everybody's going to try some. Don't get started.
As somebody that was watching Jake and overheard, or I had Jake on and the playoff show. And somebody heard him in the background and said, "You go, girl, go, Jake, YGG."
Apparently, I sound like a girl complaining. Well, never mind. All right, let's get out of here. Listen, we'll be back with you post game on Saturday, talking about UMass, talking about our friends over at Bulldog Snacks, all of that stuff. But for this one, that's all we got. Y'all enjoy your Saturday, enjoy your weekend, be safe, and maybe Georgia can take down a really angry UMass team headed to Athens.